So I'll call the October 7th council meeting to order for the City of Watt. If everyone will stand for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Stephanie. All right, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for protecting us during the storm that passed, Lord. But Father, right now we turn our attention to those that have been devastated in Georgia and in North Carolina, Lord. We ask that you would give them comfort, send them the help that they need. Father, we thank you for all of those that are being your feet in your hands, and we just ask that you would continue to bless them so that they can continue to help people. Lord, I thank you that you here in our city, that you are with one of our own. Father, we pray for Mr. Jimmy that you will give him everything that he needs, Lord. And Father, for a quick recovery, and just be with him, Lord. Just wrap your arms around him. And Father, we thank you for those in the path of the storm that's coming. We ask that you will protect everyone and that our decisions here tonight will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we'll move on to the review and approval of the agenda for October 7th. Any comments? Hearing none, can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second to motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And we'll move on to the approval of the September 3rd, 2024 minutes. Minutes were passed out to the council members. I'll open it up for discussion. All right, hearing none, can I get a motion?
Motion to accept the minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
I abstain because I wasn't here.
Okay. Motion carries. So, Brad, could you get the... So move on to the public comments. Are any of these here for the zoning?
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay. So William. Well then, Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith, there's actually a public hearing section, so. When we get to that, you can come up and talk on it. Announcements and reports. Robin?
Today was the deadline to be registered to vote in the state of Georgia. I hope everybody in this room is registered. You can also still apply for an absentee ballot. The first of the absentee ballots were mailed out today. You have until Friday, October the 25th to request an absentee ballot. And then early voting starts Tuesday, October the 15th. It goes through Saturday, and early voting is from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Barton County Elections Office and at the Cardinal Civic Center. Then it will continue the following week, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, at the same two locations. And then on Elections Day, you know, you would go at your normal voting location. Anybody needs a copy of that, I'll put extras up here just in case you need one. I came tonight to ask you guys about some CDs that we're having that are coming to maturity. I've spoken to my contact at Southern States Bank. I sent you all a copy of the current interest rates, and I just need your what you would like to do with these three CDs. If you'd like to just leave them where they are, if you'd like for us to catch them out and move them. I just need to know what you guys want me to do with those.
What was those rates that you sent us, Robin? I don't know if that was moving or
the,
staying at the same.
The 7 month is at 4.5%.
Yes.
And the 11 month is 4.10.
Is that at Southern States?
Is that Southern
States? Okay, so we wouldn't need to move them at that point.
No.
Okay.
No, they're at the same
bank. I just couldn't remember what bank that was.
Right.
I wrote down which one.
Yeah, Century Bank is now Southern States Bank, for those of you who didn't know that. So they have bought out a couple of big states.
So what are the amounts of that?
One CD is $78,870, one CD is $22,967, and one is $77,213. I sent you guys all that information today. Okay.
Okay.
Yep, my recommendation will be to take the 78,870 and cash that one out and utilize that portion of 56K to use to pay the audits and then reappropriate the remaining back into a CD. Any other discussion? All right. Do I have a motion?
Okay. I make a motion that we take the 78K, we use 56K to pay our 4 years of audits that will be caught up on the floor, and then roll the remainder over into all of it, and we go 7 months at Southern States for the 4.5.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
That's all I had, sir.
Brad.
All right, all I got is a police department wants to surplus crown jewels. And as y'all heard, we're getting some other vehicles donated.
Well, I make a motion that we surplus the black, the blue and white, and the black Crown Vic.
Yep. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving on to unfinished business would be the second reading of the amended zoning ordinance. So I will open the floor for public comments on that. So, Dalton. Yep, the floor is yours, sir.
So,
if you would, just state your name and address for the record.
Dalton Smith of 517 Old Tennessee Highway. So I just wanted to voice my concern that, you know, here recently I've got a few pieces of mail, one of which being that we had problems with our water, and then the next of which being that we hired a code enforcement officer. And I'm just kind of curious about why did we decide that we needed a code enforcement over fixing the water, fixing the fact that tractor trailers are getting hung over on Richards Road all the time. It just seems like an odd allegation of funds to me.
Well, so to answer on the water, so the EPA, which is the federal agency, they gave municipalities to do their initial sampling for until 2027, and then actually be within requirements by 2029. So we have started doing the sampling. We've actually have another sampling scheduled for this month. We're also working up their proposal to tie into Bartow County Water, if that's the way we have to go, and then also to get a geologist under contract to start looking at some of the areas that we potentially could drill a new well. There was a third option, which would be to build a water treatment plant, but that's an extremely expensive one. So those other two are probably going to be the primary focus. So that's kind of...
Are we doing anything about the tractor trailers constantly getting hung on bridges?
Well, I mean, I know the police department, that they patrol. They have wrote citations. They also stop the tractor trailers that they do see. But, I mean, they do have to cover the whole city, so...
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like there could be alternative options as well. I mean, well, regularly before a bridge, they have those clearance bits. You know, if you hit the caution symbol, you can't go through. And have we ever thought about doing anything like that?
Well, so I do know we've ordered some low ground clearance signs. So I want to double indicate those on both sides of the track, and also adding a no truck right turn lane off of Old Tennessee onto to Richards. So those signs have been ordered, and once they get here, they will be installed.
The problem with installing the things that the trucks run into is that a lot of places they've installed those, they've shown they don't really work. Because you can't install one that really stops the truck. It's like the covered bridge in Cobb County. They keep running into the signs, the things, and knocking them down and going ahead and running into the bridge. So, I mean, you know, and there's cost to doing that too. But I think I live right on Old Tennessee Highway. I can see them crossing over, and you know, I have a concern there too. But it's one of those things that I think trying with more signs is a good thing. Some people have said that if there's some procedure to update GPS for truckers, that maybe if they weren't being routed that way, you know, just doing the GPS, they wouldn't do it as much. So, I mean, we are looking at it. We do take it seriously.
Okay. What do you know about this green? I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Thank you very much. I don't know if I need to live at 499 Old Tennessee Highway. I just have a couple things about the ordinance I'd like to talk about as well. With a few of us, I've got family in this town that's been here 70, 80 years. You know, my history goes back here 80 years. I'm 28 years old. I've been here my whole life. And, you know, I run a business at my house like some of the other folk in this room. Some of the things in that ordinance of us that you can't run a business out of residential property. Did that take that the wrong way? Or is that the right way?
No. So, yeah. So, there's... You know, class one home occupations, class two home occupations. And I know, Brandon, you may be able to speak a little bit more to that. But, you know, if you're getting a business license already through the city, then it's not going to affect you.
Okay. That was the clarification on that aspect of things. A couple things also on the, my understanding, we took an officer that was part-time and transitioned him into a code enforcement.
That's correct, yes.
My thing about code enforcement is not that I'm not against it, because I do believe that there is some sort of ways that we do need it, right? But on the other hand, we got a guy riding around looking for stuff. Versus, if my neighbors ain't got a problem with what I got going on, what is his problem? I don't really understand. Like, I mean, if you ride by junk cars, for instance, we're going to use that for example, you might ride by the day there ain't any, you might ride by tomorrow there's two or three. Well, if you ride by on the day that there's two or three, based on the office ordinance, that's a violation. Right? Even though you said that does go under the lines of my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't be messed with. I'm just speaking theoretically here. I just don't understand. My neighbors don't have an issue with what I got going on. why it's an issue. I don't understand. Maybe you can shed some light on that. I really don't understand that.
Well, I mean, so to me, if you've been doing your business for a number of years, then like I said, it's not going to really affect you. It's for people that come in, you know, like, and I'm not saying that it's not necessarily, you know, class one or class two. It's now we say, okay, you can have this business, but just request a special use permit for any new people that move in and want to run a home business. That's kind of where.
Okay.
Well, and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And like I said, and it's also, you know, like making sure the grass is cut. I mean, and there's some properties that are also
I agree with it.
That are abandoned, you know, and it allows us a way to make sure that gets cleaned up and looks, you know, respectable anyway.
And I understand that aspect. Again, my biggest thing was is we have one dedicated individual that's right around this little 1 mile radius town looking for problems. Most of us, especially I can speak from one end of the Tennessee Highway to the other end, we're big family down that road. And along with some of the other roads in this little town, if they got a problem, they'll come and ask. Or if I got an issue, I'll go to them. I don't need to specific individual to go to resolve my issue that I have with a neighbor that I consider part of my family. Maybe that's just old school. I don't know. But again, you know,
they should have just worded the letter a little different.
You maybe. And again, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. I'm just voicing. I got some questions. You know, while we're here, is about some poultry livestock stuff. I know some people right here have got some chickens. Nobody cares they got chickens. What is this guy going to say when he drives by and sees people ain't supposed to have chickens? Got chickens. What's he going
to do? Well,
it's not a problem for anybody that lives in this city. It's a problem for somebody that's riding by and he has a rule book to follow. And I understand that. But if you're within a few houses of some chickens, and they're not bothering anybody, and nobody's complaining, but he sees them, and it's his job to write a ticket for it. Or we can get rid of it, or whatever. I don't understand. Should we shed some light on that?
Well, I mean, I know that ordinance does allow, our ordinance actually does allow a certain number of livestock, depending on the acres.
Not just under 1 acre.
That you have, so.
Or zone residential is what the word again, but.
So. But that's the point of coming here and having a conversation is
right.
Now this allows us we can take your comments into consideration, and like I said, this isn't passed. I mean, we're still going off of the old ordinance, and that's basically the same thing in the old ordinance. So
I mean, a lot of that has not changed. I understand it's been in there. I just the enforcement of it. That ordinance has kind of been shipped, put over in the corner, and if there was an issue, if you called in and said that this person over here, you know, is in violation, well, then y'all got a problem, and that ordinance is there to kind of resolve that problem. But if the people around you ain't got no problem, I just don't understand why there's a problem.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, if we've had complaints, how would you feel, and I'm not being a smart aleck or anything, if we've had complaints and this is kind of our avenue to kind of address some of those, how would you suggest that we handle it instead of having a code enforcement officer?
These guys do a great job. I don't think you need a dedicated person to ride around this 1 mile seat and look for problems. I don't think that. I really don't.
Well,
with that being said, if there is an issue, and the issue is not somebody going after somebody. I worked for animal control for 5 years. So I understand people will use people, just for a second, people will use their animals as ways to retaliate on people. You know, that's just an easy out. That's just an easy way out. When there's no telling how many times I've went out, then there would be nothing wrong based on the ordinance that these folks are doing. But they are people that use the ordinance to retaliate against a personal issue. You can't help it always.
Well, and what I would say, and not really an argument, just before making this decision, before giving input to this decision, I spoke with several police officers, not limited to our staff here, and 95% of them said, leave me out of it. Because they want to be taken seriously when they have to come to a domestic dispute at Carissa's house. And they don't want the same officer to show up at a domestic dispute at Carissa's house that had to talk to them about the fence falling down. They want to keep that level of respect, I guess it is, because, you know, we're all touchy about our property, and I get that. And I understand this is not a popular decision, but again, that's why I ask you the question, how do you feel we could do it differently? Because we have had complaints that we need to address, because it's also not fair to those people that are complaining, but we don't know another way to do this, and this officer is not full-time. He is an extremely part-time.
Well, that's irrelevant. I just don't understand. We got somebody right around the corner.
Well,
you know, if you,
but the cops would be doing the same thing though, if you're utilizing them,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
we're just kind of in between a rock and a hard place. We want to honor those people who have said, "Hey, this is ridiculous," and then, but we want it to be fair in the best way that we know how, and then so this is kind of the mutual ground and. That's just kind of how we came up with that decision.
Yeah, and like I said, I understand that y'all might need to be some way. Right. It needs to be put in there. I just felt like that.
I understand your concerns because I, you know, live right down the street from you and Buddy, and I think that y'all do, especially Buddy. Sometimes you let it get a little out of hand, but. You know, as long as you do this.
Do I think that it should be clean? And now when you noticed in the recent
I think you've been better.
I mean, I've been trying to do better because, again, I'm not against the ordinance in its entirety.
But where I was going with it was that, you know, there's when I'm looking through it, I'm looking at, well, you can have one car for this many days, and then you have to put it under a building or something. There's several things that I'm like, well, do we really need that, or do we just need a fence across and you can move stuff to your backyard? I mean, you know, there's some things that, as our constituents, if you're reading it and you think, well, we need a different criteria, what we've got is very much like what everybody has. I mean, whether it's Bartow County or other small cities around us, it's pretty much the same thing. But there are some things, like I asked Curtis, I said, why should bushes not grow up above window height? I mean, there's some bushes that you buy that are tall, you know, And so, I mean, I'm willing to ask the questions, and so should you be. I mean, you know, and provide substantive input to the whole thing.
My thing is, like, me and several other people here, we make a living at our homes. The biggest concern for me was how that's going to be addressed because of the fact, you know, so you can't run a business phone. Past 10 years, 9 years, mm-hmm. I've been on a business license.
Yeah.
So how can I not run when y'all sell me a license?
Yep. And that's my thing.
You know, like I understand if I was just doing it without buying a license. And I understand that, there should be, I shouldn't let it get as bad as it has. Right? And
that's on you.
I agree. I created the situation, we'll move on to something else. With that being said, there should be some sort of criteria there, I believe, to keep it clean, organized, if you will.
But y'all just remember, we little business, we the first one y'all call, and we the first one to stay there all day until the work's done, and y'all need some help.
That's
Anytime, through, knocks on my door, and I get something I can help him, I'll be the first one to do it, and I can ask for him too.
Yes, sir. That's for sure.
It doesn't matter if you're sitting at the door, or the end, or the back, it doesn't matter. You knock on the door, the door, the door. And just don't want to offend this guy too.
You look
weird.
Well, two out of three.
I'll take it up with you guys, Tyler, and we'll be.
And DJ, I do appreciate you coming and commenting and making some very valid points and thank you.
This piggybacks on what I was saying earlier. Same thing with GPS. Truck drivers know that they're not supposed to use that GPS as a primary means of direction. It's a tool. Same thing with the ordinance. Using a general consensus of the ordinance, that's Bartow County, City of Cartersville, City of Atlanta, maybe, don't know. This is a small town. It needs to be something that you go in there and address land by land and make it work for this town. We're not the other towns. They're not us. That's what makes us unique.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Well, Brandon, did you want to talk a little bit about what we've done
so far? Yeah, just to get your last point, process-wise, this is ordinance is, I guess it's began life as Bartow County zoning ordinance. That's been a long time. I've used it to draft the Adairsville zoning ordinance probably 10 years ago, and I've maintained it on a monthly basis since then. So that's important. It's up to date with legal changes that have occurred over that time period, whereas the White's existing ordinance has not been updated. So the main thing we have in here is bringing the ordinance into compliance with those legal requirements. It's not a change that would, if you've got a legally operating business, any change in here is not going to mean you can't operate your business. If you've got the right to operate your business today, you're going to have the right to operate your business there tomorrow. Where we are in it, we're having a public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to get comments, so that if there are things that need to be changed to make it right for White, now's the time to do that. So I appreciate your comments in that regard. And we can, the council very well may direct me to make some changes to address things that come up. I do not recommend that you adopt tonight. One, we've heard about some potential changes. We still need to look at the table of permitted uses. We added a agricultural zoning district, which was not there before. So there's some other changes that the council still wants to look at, and you all may want to comment on. And also, one of the things that we do when we do a readoption of the zoning ordinance is readopt the zoning map to address any changes that have been made since the last time that zoning map was adopted. There's been some annexations, there's been some rezoning since then. I don't know of any contemplated changes to the map that are not reflected on those prior rezonings and annexations that have happened in the last few years. But we worked with the Regional Commission to make that nice, pretty map, and they haven't gotten it to us yet. So that's another thing that we need to wait on. And so, you may say we want to have another public hearing. We don't have to have another public hearing in the future, but you can. I guess you like, you're pretty open to comment anyway. So, that address the issue that you want to speak to?
Yep. Thanks, Brandon.
I think one good thing can I talk to Mr. Mayor?
You.
I'm sorry.
The floor is yours.
I don't follow rules very well. This is one of the things that Brandon was saying, and it basically says for every area, like residential or commercial one or two or whatever, what are permitted businesses, which ones you have to have special
use
paperwork done on them. And so once we get this worked out, I think it would be a good idea for any of you that are, you know, interested to look at that table, because it says what businesses are permitted in each category and what different kinds of uses are available in each category.
Yeah. But the one thing I would add to that is, even if there's a change, the ordinance does provide that anything that's legal today will be permitted after the ordinance changes.
Repeat that?
Yes. So anything that is being done today legally under the existing ordinance, even if the ordinance changes, that would be considered a grandfather non-conforming use, grandfather right. So that would be able to continue to change those terms.
So does that mean these people that have mobile homes, they can get a mobile home like they have now?
Well, I don't know which people you're referring to. I mean, there is a section on manufactured housing that provides that if the manufactured house is situated legally and something happens to it, it can be rebuilt.
But they don't have to follow the new ordinance with the pitch roof and all that.
They would be...
No, they do.
I think they do.
They do.
They would be able to get into the same area and footprint and things of that nature.
If you modify... I asked on this question because I'm, like you, I was interested. Is if you have to rebuild part of your home, then you have to comply with the building standards of the current date.
For that portion of your home, not the whole.
Correct.
But mm-hmm. If you had a house fire, half the house, you would fix half the house to new standard, and the other half would be grandfathered in.
Correct. Yeah, you don't have to go back and update the parts that you're not changing.
Correct.
If you have a fire and your home burns, and you want to replace it, it's going to have to be one like you're talking about with the new
exactly.
Fix.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
No,
it's wrong with it. Okay, it's wrong. But I'm interpreting that if something happens to your property, like God forbid a fire or whatever, you're going to get a new one. It's going to have to be that one with a high pitch roof. Those are about $100,000 when we break the mobile home. People can't afford that or more. Yeah, correct.
Where's the ordinance about mobile homes and high pitch roof?
It's something like that. Is it in that?
Yeah. Yep. So there's the R3.
R3,
yeah.
Well, I know that when we were in the work session, we were actually consulting Charles a little bit, because he has got many mobile homes that he oversees or, you know, whatever. And we were talking to him a little bit, getting his feedback, because we were concerned about that ourselves. And then Gary, he's a construction person, so we were talking, is that normal? Is that, you know, so that is definitely one of our points that we had questions on, that we wanted to look into before we finalized anything, because I don't know anything about roof pitch. And I said, you know, I would like for someone, if they had a mobile home that they needed to replace, they could go and purchase a what I would call just a normal mobile home. I don't know nothing about roof pitch. So,
but the issue is not the pitch of the roof. The issue is about $130,000 additional cost. People in this small town, a lot of them live on a very limited income. God forbid if they have a tragedy and lose their mobile home, you're going to tell them they can't put another one on there unless they go get this new $130,000 more mobile home. And you're going to do that to these people.
I don't see the pitch
in R3. No.
I don't see the roof pitch on R3.
That was what says?
I don't know. Y'all passed it yet.
We haven't passed it. It's one of our... Well, that's what we were asking. What is the normal pitch that you would go find? A long time ago, it was...
As long as it's past inspection, but the roof pitch is not in R3.
I think that's what I remember. I think that we discussed it before. Yeah, we discussed it before, and that can bring or you can come in. What is it? It's in good condition, has to pass inspection.
It has to pass inspection.
Well, a couple of months ago, we did talk about it.
You make this drafted so that someone is in bad shape. It's going on. They can put one of their confidence down.
It has to pass inspection. No, me personally, which I didn't see it in here. I don't see it in R3. I see it in R4.
Those are manufactured homes. We don't control them as far as inspecting the roofs or how they're built. They come in inspected before they ever get here.
If they're new, they're fully inspected before they get here.
And we have to go
manufactured home, and then you have
manufactured home inspecting that they don't have
problems with those anymore. Yeah.
Well, but criteria for the manufactured home.
Yeah, that kind of thing, but I mean the general way they're built.
Yeah, we do not regulate their construction.
They just say that they have to be habitable in good condition. No holes in the floor, no holes in the wall.
Like I said, they bring one in that needs to be in good condition, pass inspection, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the roof pitch is in there, Brandon, I think we can.
I have a question about that statement that we just made. And this is just a general question. It's not for anybody, you know, picking on anybody. But if you buy, say, for instance, like Eddie's saying here, if the house burned down, mobile home burned down, and you can't afford to go get a new mobile home, but you can find one that's 70% need to be refurbished, or, you know, because a lot of times I spent $70,000 on a mobile home behind my house and put somebody in for rent. If you can get it in the shell there and then fix the shell so it's livable, is that an issue?
The ordinance specifically allows that.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to pass inspection before it gets a living permit.
Right.
This is the 5-12 pitch that kind of got crossed in years back from the Southern Standard Building Code. Mobile homes are built under housing under development. Completely different specifications. Well, when they did cross this in from the Southern Standard Building Code, the mobile homes couldn't meet this standard because they were never required to be built to these specs. Years later, you can order a mobile home special built from the factory with a 5-12 pitch. But what they didn't do, they didn't back it up the cover or take into consideration the mobile homes that were built under HUD. So what they do now, they have a safety inspection. It's not really based on the year model or nothing. I think 1969 they quit using aluminum more inside mobile home than with copper. So now, if you have a mobile home you want to replace or update or whatever, it usually has to pass a safety inspection. That's for the updated barn, the plumbing. But you can't go back and require that mobile home to meet the Southern Standard Building Code on the 5-12 pitch because it never was built for that standard. So there's got to be some kind of consideration or ordinance or something to say that it could be replaced with a likewise mobile home, whether it had 5-foot pitch or 3-foot pitch, as long as it would make the same inspection.
says and make sure that it's consistent with what we want.
Oh, yeah.
Make a motion that we table it to November simply because I haven't had a chance to compare our changes that we decided to make with Brandon's final draft. So, because it's a lot. So, and I just didn't want to vote one way or the other. So, my motion is to table it to the November meeting.
Second.
Okay.
Can I ask another question? I hate to keep asking questions. You table it to November,
sure.
So you get time to read it.
Sure.
Do the citizens get a chance to read it before you pass it? Or do y'all get it and give everybody a chance to look over it before you pass it?
So anyone who wants a copy of the draft, because it's a lot of pages, so if you want us to send it via email, we can do it that way. It'll be posted on the city website, and then if you want a copy, then just come. Request a copy.
If we've already got some changes that we want to have made, should we get those made before we... We know the table's wrong.
Yes. I think the table may take, you know, a little bit more time, but if, you know...
And it's missing the agricultural stuff. So there's a couple things that are missing that I think may be significant. And some of the issues that have come up tonight, I think are...
Yes, I mean, there's some things we need to address, some concerns.
I think the draft copy wouldn't be of much benefit to you if they're going to make changes.
Well, I'm not talking about draft copy now. I'm talking y'all get it done and it's still in draft mode before we come back to passing.
I agree with
that's
you.
My point.
Get
the actual orders we want. Let the people look at it and speak to how they feel about it.
Before
we vote.
Well, and I know to Brandon's point, we'll continue. We'll have another public hearing in November, just so people.
If you're drafted, and you haven't passed it, it's not really an ordinance at that point.
It is not.
Right.
So I do have a motion to table, and I have a second. So all in favor to table until November?
Aye.
So motion carries unanimously. So next new business, want to recommend using 2020 SPLOST funds to pay off the remainder of the USDA loan payments for the garbage truck, the water vehicle, and the police department cars. And I know y'all got Robin emailed out what was owed on those items.
I moved to pay off those loans as described in the email that Robin sent out.
And I second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next on the item is the preliminary plat for the S. Nelson Properties, which was off Stamp Creek. Got an email from John saying that he recommended the approval and it's acceptable to him. So I do know that they went from, I think, six down to four. Just they had to work out some drainage and that type of thing. So... I'll open the floor for discussion. All right, hearing none, can I get a motion? Yes.
One second, if you don't mind. No, to have five on this flat?
Look, that is not an actual, this is just an empty lot that they're. It looks like they're going to use for retention. They actually, this is going to be just four homes.
Right. Well, I know they had five rode in there, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, right. I had to see. Yeah. I moved up to it.
All right, do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. I'll move to the mayor and council comments. I will bore everybody with my PFAS people. I think I talked about that during the zoning hearing, so I will open the floor for any of the council members who may have anything.
I've asked Curtis if I can talk about our progress on building the bench out of the tree that was cut down here. Gary had it cut. I was going to bring a picture. We've got it stacked in our garage now, dry. We think the top few slabs of the tree are ready to start seeing how it's going to work. And we plan on having it done in time for the
festival.
Friendly Smile Festival in April. And before then, we'll have some drawings and some tests. Examples for people to look at and comment on. I mean, the plan is to put the city symbol in the middle and kind of have a tree curling around it, and what words and stuff go on there. We're going to ask for more input on, but we're going to do mostly wood burning to get those symbols and stuff on there. That's the plan now. If it changes, we'll update it. My husband is so kind to me that when I rub him into these things, he just smiles and says, yes, too. And good thing we have heavy-duty equipment, because we have a business right now, too, operating out of our home at 483, but we don't do much business.
What else have you done? All right.
Thank you. I'll do that too.
Moving on. Not worrying about an executive session. So I'll have a motion for adjournment.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Ah!